Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with a golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here, day after the election, Wednesday, November 5th, 2025, 12 minutes past the hour, talking about the election results. And if you have not heard yet, last night, Dan Clark, Aaron Rollins, and Scott Kreider elected to city council at large. We also had Ron Prater reelected in the 6th Ward over Anthony Azaria. The idea of Charter City here in Marion failed resoundingly with over 10% of the vote against Charter City. Adam H. Levy goes down. Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities levy goes down, and the Council on Aging levy passes resoundingly, which tells you something about the age of the voters here in Marion, I think. If you look at it, I think it might tell you something. We turn now to somebody who I've had on the program a lot, and honestly, the only person in the last couple weeks who outright said the Charter City initiative would fail, but did he think it would fail by more than 10%? He's the 3rd Ward City Councilman here in Marion for a couple more months, Jason Schauber. Jason, how you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. How are you? I've been wanting to call and do a welfare check on you because my observations, you've been bullied a little bit, and I just want to make sure you're okay.
Oh, did I get some more? Did I get some more bullying?
Well, it's been happening, and so I just want to make sure you're okay.
I'm okay as far as I know. Hey, how'd you like your finest moment in council the other night?
I don't really think it's my finest moments, because if it is, it's sad. Because, and I don't think this highly of myself, but there's one situation we had in finance committee where the budget director brought forth an ordinance accepting a donation and trying to spend it on scholarships. And had I not spoke up, that would have resulted in an audit finding when 2025 books were audited. And guess who they would have blamed for that? They would have blamed Miranda, our auditor, and not the person that brought it forward, which is the budget director.
Well, this is why, and it wasn't just me, felt it was one of you, maybe not, you know, you've been on council for a while, but certainly one of your finest moments in recent times is because it was an issue where your emails didn't get answered. You asked the people directly, why weren't they answered? You weren't letting them off the hook as to why they were not answering. You cited codes, and when they tried to do the same old thing of let's blame the auditor, you actually said, let's not do the same old thing of just blaming the auditor. And when that happened, they had no answers at all.
So
that's a pretty good moment.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, but that being said, when you went through that and got to the point where the mayor, the budget director, the head of the finance committee, nobody on the finance committee had one word, and basically the meeting was just gaveled to an end without an answer to your question about why did none of them respond to your email. How'd you feel?
So it's a continuation of the same old problem. There is a lack of communication in City Hall. It's the mayor's quoted in the newspaper that he has zero communication and has all but given up on trying to communicate with the auditor. A council member is trying to communicate to get information to draft a corrective action resolution or ordinance for an ESID payment that was made that should have never been made. The ESID payment is exactly the same as the $156,000 IRS payment. Now, memory goes back to, well, it was a mistake and it was sent to the state. The IRS withholdings was sent to the state instead of the federal government. That's a mistake. That wasn't the biggest issue. The biggest issue was they covered it up for so many months and just grabbed another $156,000 and sent it to the IRS because the state just said, well, we'll just credit for future payments of withholdings. So, and then the ESID is the same thing. They just grab money and send it.
Were you surprised that on this issue, when the mayor did speak on Monday, he did get up at one point and speak, his answer was he thought that was a question for the auditor, and that's why he did not respond and I guess didn't have knowledge of that particular subject.
I don't know how he couldn't have knowledge of that particular subject because he is the supervisor of the budget director. Martin Watts stood up in the meeting that discussed this ESID payment and said he had conversations with Casey Courtright over that payment or a ESID payment. That's what I was asking. What was that conversation about? Casey, we thought, left, but from what I hear, she comes up to the office still and is helping Chelsea, the new budget director, do whatever. I'm not sure what she's helping her do, but I can't ask Casey. She's gone. So it falls on the mayor's responsibility to give me that information.
Well, and I want to ask this question, then we'll get to the election results. But this exchange was particularly odd because the week before, the budget director, Chelsea, had said one of the reasons she did not reply to you is because she sent her email response to Mark Russell, the law director. Now, he was not there the prior week, but she had sent it to him because that is the procedure that they follow. Now, Mark Russell, give him credit, said that's not the procedure, unless it's a public records request, but coming from a sitting council person, that wouldn't be a public records request. So we don't really know why she didn't respond to you. And Mark Russell even said, when I respond to something I don't have the answer to, I put, I don't have the answer to that. And
well, if you remember Chelsea's answer Monday night, it was different than she sent the reply to Mark. Monday night, she said she didn't really have time to answer every request she had for information if she didn't have it.
Do you think she's inundated with emails?
No, I think she was told by the mayor not to respond to me, just like he told Twyla Lang on December 9th.
Well, and another thing in that exchange I did not understand, and I don't know if you've been listening to the program, but Twyla at one point said, you know, now you know how it feels not to have emails responded to. The treasurer and the auditor don't respond to my emails, but she was copied on your email, and she didn't respond to you.
Yeah, and so I copied the finance committee just to let them know what I was trying to work on to help them out for this ESID payment. Because and they've yet to act on it. They have not acted on a corrective action for that ESID payment. So they were copied on email, but not named in the body of the email.
Well, you know,
to Twyla's comment that now I know how it feels not to be responded to by the auditor or whatever. The mayor is statutorily obligated to respond to council when asked the fiscal status or the financial status of the city. And if he does not, and knowingly does not respond to that, that's nonfeasance and dereliction of duty.
Will you take up a no confidence vote? Will you pass this on to the state?
I have 4 more meetings, possibly only 3 more meetings, depending on what the council decides to do on the December 22nd meeting. I will not. It accomplishes nothing. The only thing I want to get before I leave is that ESID corrective action.
Well, I guess the point is here, the mayor will continue in his position, council will continue in its position, and we'll talk about the makeup of that in just a second after last night's election. But, you know, there seem to be a problem. The people who call into this show don't like that the mayor does not do media. You don't like that the mayor doesn't respond to your emails. What do you think is going on there? I mean, without any personal feeling at all, what is going on for the last 2 years with Bill Collins? Transit director goes, 2 other long-term city employees go. He says he's not going to fill those positions. I didn't hear that get brought up at all on Monday night. What is going on with the mayor? Because, I'm sorry, this does all come back to the mayor.
So I don't know. This is all the situations you laid out kind of it's shaping up to be some sort of a perfect storm, but I don't know what this perfect storm is going to result in. Is it the renaissance of Marion, as some have said, or is it the implosion of Marion?
Well, and again, before we get to the election results, did you happen to hear Mayor Schertz around the program last night?
I did not. I was celebrating a birthday, and I missed your first 3.5 hours of your marathon show.
So, hey, could you do something about the Board of Elections in your time left in office? Because that's a thing.
Every year that gets worse, and I feel bad for the Board of Election workers, but every year it's always something. It's either a truck, a box fell off a truck, or the truck won't start, or there's too many ballots, which... I don't know.
And it's not Cindy and Brian, I'm sure, but just something
is
going
on. It is not. It's just always something, and it sounds little when it's explained to us, but it kind of has catastrophic waterfall for the Board of Elections when they're actually trying to tally and count.
People are very unhappy about this morning. Very, and they are every year, and this is eventually going to build up over time. But I guess where I'm going with this is that when we look at what is going on in the city right now, and when we look at where we are, can it continue like this? Can the trickle of information continue?
No, the lack of communication that we have within the city, it cannot continue. And maybe with the new council, maybe it'll improve.
The overview of the Schertzer interview was 15 minutes, and essentially it was this, his first interview back in Marion, or with somebody in Marion since he left nearly 2 years ago, was that he's upset about the financial situation, but he says he is on record on this show, on tape, sounding the alarm about the financial situation. He said he was not the boss of the auditor, so he could not fire the auditor. He said that he felt that... he did not think it was a good idea if the charter had passed that the elected officials would be on the charter commission or run for that. He really laid pretty heavy into Mr. Landon and felt that him possibly being on the charter commission would not be a good thing. And he said all this talk of things going on back to 2008 when he started as mayor and even prior to that when he was a council person, that's all smoke and mirrors, and essentially he was there, and it started in 2020, the financial problems in Marion. Disagree or agree with any of that?
Yeah, and so it's good to know your history and review your history and also understand what you're looking at. I'm not saying that all of our auditors that we've had in the past were perfect. Every one of them had an issue. And you can go clear back to 19 whatever when we were founded and or beyond. And there's always been issues, but there's always been improvement too. We've never had, at least from my memory, we never had an auditor leave and resign because of the situation going on in their office.
So you agree with what Mayor Schertzer has to say, that basically this started with Robert Landon's term in office?
Yeah, and it did. It's what I've been saying since the very beginning, and fighting with my own party. And because when Robert was there, we had council members. We had a slim majority of Republicans. And some of them are, you can quote them saying, there's nothing to see here. It's just an attack on a Christian man, and we're crucifying this man. And it all comes down to reconciliation.
Well,
we did not do it.
And that being said, an interesting point here is that I do remember now that Mayor Schertzer said that he does blame the Republican Party for running unqualified candidates and appointing candidates that shouldn't be there. So he said it's his party's fault for not running candidates, but that the Republican Party is to blame for the financial problems in Marion.
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. Because you can go back to the Zoom meetings that we had during COVID, and you can find council members repeatedly saying there's nothing to see here. And Josh Daniels even called it the Barbara Streisand effect, which I'm not for sure what that means or how it got termed or how that term came about, but it's basically if one person lies and says that this is happening, other people will buy into it and start believing it. And that was Josh's defense for Robert. Something happened finally towards the end of Josh's time there and Robert's time that Josh finally changed his opinion to that.
It's an interesting thing to look at, as are last night's election results. Now, I want to talk about this at-large race before we get to the big Charter City issue. I have never seen results like this. I had said my prediction was Scott Kreider will get in there, even if it's finishing third, because that's just how the makeup of an at-large race goes when you have one Democrat. But I would have never guessed that the distance between first and third would be 21 votes. The Republican that got the most votes last night only got 21 more votes than a Democrat. I don't think that's ever happened in Marion.
Yeah, those are usually pretty tight, but that's the tightest that I can recall.
But it says,
interesting for sure.
Well, what it says about Republican versus Democrat here, I think, is very interesting, because Danny Clark in the city last night is the Republican who got the most votes, and Scott Kreider is the Democrat who got the most votes. That's separated by 21 votes.
Now, at the end last night, the initial results, Kreider was the second vote getter, or did he finish up as the second?
No, he finished up
vote getter
third, but he's only 9 votes behind Aaron Rollins.
Behind Rollins. Okay.
Yeah,
that's interesting. And to me, I think that says that the Democratic candidates will fare a little better citywide, and shame on the Democratic Party for not putting more people in there.
So definitely a missed opportunity last night.
Oh, yeah. Well, you lose every race you don't run.
Well, and it doesn't look like as if that would have happened if these numbers are any indication of that.
Right. And if City is starting to... And there was kind of a perfect storm going into this election, too, with the SNAP benefits and stuff and other national things going on that probably played into that. But... I can't sit here and say without that a first ward, second ward, or a third ward Democratic candidate would not have won last night.
Well, and what would you say to people who say, people just like Scott Kreider, or maybe mark their ballot mistakenly, and this is really not a Democrat-Republican thing?
There are a lot of people that have a lot of friends, but I don't think they have that many. So I think it was because the sixth ward clearly looks at the R, and that's how they vote. And at large, I think they still look at the party, but there were enough independents that are just wanting to see some change or some balance, I guess.
Well, and two things that we have noted on this program, the rallies that have happened here in Marion, 3 different rallies have gotten bigger each time. When we report on them, it gets more attention than murders, fires, any other thing going on in Marion, for some reason, by far. And you look at the country, and the polls for governor next year, and anything can happen, show Donald Trump 16 points down in 9 months in Ohio, and Amy Acton within striking distance of Vivek Ramaswamy. I mean... What is all this pointing to? I don't think this can all be wrong.
Right, and I think the political tides, they come and go, so maybe it's slowly changing, and that's what we're seeing.
Well, the big issue last night on everybody's tongue and voting push, I guess you push the button now, was Charter City. Now, I'll give it to you. You were the only person who outright said it would fail, but did you think it would fail by more than 10%?
Yeah, I actually, my thought was it would go down worse than the 10%.
Is 10% a mandate?
Maybe not, but it could be viewed as that. I don't know a word that's not as strong as mandate, but it's a suggestion to rethink, I guess.
Why do you think it went down?
So the charter has a curse. If you look back to, if you go back most recent, it was originally a discussion, and it didn't go anywhere, with Robert Landon as a city councilman. That inspired Brett Cornelius to run, and his sole purpose was for the charter. And we all know how that went out, played out. Aaron Rollins, one of the biggest proponents of a charter, voted to not send it out of committee on the council because he saw that his committee, the charter committee, didn't present a strong enough case as to why we even needed a charter or what our problem was. And then this year, this council, in January, Ayers Ratliff and myself, January 24, added the charter question back to the legislation and codes agenda. The very next Monday, the very next council meeting, the kids in the sandbox decided that Ayers and I didn't play fair, so they removed us from committees, and I eventually just quit all committees, and that situation played out. So for a year and, 3 months, it goes, not a word about it. It's on the agenda. Mike Neff never brought it up until someone had a falling out with the auditor or the treasurer, and Aaron Rollins stood up and said, well, we need to reconsider the charter. And this was too late in the year, and it just got shoved through, and we did bring Gary Hunter in, and he presented again, and there was new information that elected officials could run, and then that opened it up to everyone to protect their special interest, and the voters, I believe, saw that special interests would be protected, and they didn't want anything to do with it.
Well, that brings up an interesting question I was talking with Aaron about earlier. You know, this is the first local election, city local election, we've had since the election of Mayor Collins. Mayor Collins ran for Charter Commission. He certainly was a proponent of the Charter Commission. His administration was. Everybody on council was, except you. And the first local election we have into this administration, a Democrat does pretty well in the at-large race. Only 21 votes fewer than the highest vote getting Republican, and the charter, something that the city was certainly promoting, fails by over 10% of the vote. Is this a referendum on the administration and the current council?
It could be. I received a mailer from the Republican Party, and it had the at-large candidates, and then at the bottom it said, vote for the charter, or vote yes for the charter. So it was definitely a Republican issue, and voters are smart. I believe they're smart, and some think they're stupid and can be persuaded to do something that's not in their best interest. But because they are smart, they saw Republicans gave us the auditor. The voters gave us the auditor in 2020, led to a financial disaster. We appointed another one that's not doing the greatest. And we blame a lot of stuff on this auditor, and Republicans are in the majority control of council now, a supermajority, and things haven't gotten any better. So I believe that's what played into the charter. It's they're speaking out against, you guys are telling us in 2020 this person's great, in 21, nope, this person's going to do better, but now you're saying, well, if we just get this charter, then that'll be better. And people saw right through the noise.
I don't want to misquote Aaron Rollins earlier, but he kicked off the program this morning. Now, as you said, he was a huge proponent of the charter. He's the one who brought it up this time around. And he said 10%, a 10% loss was significant, he would not bring it to council again and is not sure if it was brought to council again, if he would even vote on it at this point, because there are already rumblings that let's start for next year, let's get this on the ballot again, and let's keep pushing this thing.
If there are rumblings to do that, those people are fools. If charter comes back to be put on the ballot, it has to be initiative driven by the people pushing it. Circulating a petition to get it and not council putting it on the ballot.
Do you think that this in some way is a little redemption for the auditor and the treasurer? Because initially this was the reason given for a charter that we don't have people in Marion who can do this. We need people who are going to, we need more money for these positions. They don't need to be elected. They need to be chosen by administrations or by council or by however the charter would have set it up. And I think Miranda and Tommy have come under more fire in the last 6 months, even in the last 3 months since this charter has been an issue, than anybody. Do you think people got tired of them getting beat up on?
I think people took offense to the fact that these people that got us in this situation are trying to tell us, well, the Marion community is too stupid to raise a qualified candidate to run the city. So we have to seek outside help. That's offensive. I don't understand that argument and why that was such a strong point that folks were pushing for a charter. That to me, that's offensive to say that there's no one in Marion smart enough to do this work.
You said that the charter issue was political. Is there any coincidence in the idea that the number of votes that Scott Kreider got, the Democrat, for the at-large race, is less than 100 votes that the charter failed by?
Huh?
I know that was a difficult question.
I don't think you was following what you were saying.
No, I'm gonna have to repeat that one. Maybe I should get the bully for that one. That was a bad question. Ask short questions. That's what they teach you. Scott Kreider's vote count last night, and the number of votes the charter went down by, less than 100 vote difference.
Okay.
Is that just a coincidence?
I think there's similarities, and maybe that's where the mandate is. It's a mandate saying that the super majority, we're done listening to you. We want something different. But unfortunately, voters didn't have many choices.
Now, after last night's election, I have to ask you something. Now, people have called in the last week and saying, we would like Jason to run for mayor of Marion. Obviously, there is going to be no charter commission, so you don't have to worry about that. Just real quick, would you ever run for mayor of Marion?
So, the mayor election is, what, 2 years away?
2 years away.
At least a year away, you got to do your petitions. I don't even know if I'll be in Marion.
Now, that being said, maybe this is the more pertinent question. We will have an election next year for the 86th District State Rep. Tracy Richardson is termed out. Weslyn Davis and Ben Weber are in that particular primary. They seem to be very pro-Donald Trump, if you call that an extremist Republican. I'm not sure if that's what that's called. A far-right Republican, let's call it. They both seem to be in that pool. And that's about all we got going in the 86th district now. With the way the election came down last night and that race coming next year, is that something you'd like to get involved in?
So that race is interesting, and I hope that there is a better candidate that we get to pick from. Because you can pick apart either one of the two candidates that are currently declaring that they will become candidates, because if I'm not mistaken, they can't officially be a candidate till after December, I believe, because they not even circulated petitions. So I would hope that some other people would pop their heads up. But for me, and the way the districts draw them, I don't think anyone from Marion could win, just because it's just a small little bit of Marion, I believe, Prospect, and then it's all of Union County. So the candidate that probably most likely is going to win will be, in fact, from Union County.
Now, all this being said this morning, after last night's election results, next year we go into a gubernatorial race. Should Marion County, Marion City Republicans be worried for the first time since 2016?
Worried as far as?
That they could lose elections, that the Democratic Party might be on an upturn here.
I don't think they should have any concern unless the Democratic Party starts putting up candidates. Because right now, the Republicans have always been good at getting bodies to circulate petitions to run for offices. The Democratic Party, this go-around, they had two individuals. One dropped out for whatever reason, but the Democratic Party, until it was broke on your show that the candidate withdrew from the ballot, and they have an opportunity to fill that vacancy. And I believe that if you wouldn't have said anything, it wouldn't have been filled. So the Republican parties, as long as the Democratic Party is not doing anything, they have nothing to worry about.
Well, why do you think Bill Dichtel ended up being the odd man out? And is it good? Are you comfortable with Scott Kreider being on council? Somebody who has been on council before.
Yeah, and when I was on your show, you asked me about him, and he's capable. I don't think that Kreider will get the same courtesy that Ayers received as far as the suspension of rolls, and if the sole Democrat didn't vote to suspend the rolls, that the council president will give the same courtesy to Kreider. I think that dies with Ayers leaving.
Well, why was Bill Dichtel the odd man out last night for the Republicans?
I don't know Bill at all. And like I said, I don't know him at all, but what my observation of him in meetings, he just didn't have it. And I didn't see any campaign efforts from him. Danny Clark, I mean, he had signs in it. So Rollins, I don't think he did a whole lot, but he is a longer-term incumbent. But Dichtel just didn't have it, and there wasn't much effort.
You know, the loss of the transit director on the same day the letter went to the state auditor from Mayor Collins. Also, the loss of two other long-term city directors, positions not being filled, apparently, according to Bill Collins. What do you make of that?
That goes back to the perfect storm that's brewing in the city of Marion. Don't know what that's going to how that will play out, but pieces are adding up, things are happening. Will the result be something good, or will it be an implosion and the voters of, or the people of Marion will suffer as a result? I don't know.
It's going to be an interesting end of the year. Third Ward City Councilman Jason Schaber. Thanks, Jason.
Yep. Yep.
Bye-bye. All right. There you go. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you'd like to get in on any of this conversation, feel free. We've got 15 minutes left in the broadcast tonight. And I want to thank everybody who participated in the broadcast last night. Christian Pearson called in. Tara Dyer called in. We had Bill Dichtel called in. Scott Kreider called in. Anthony Azaria was in studio with us. Ron Prater called in. Mayor Schertzer started off the broadcast. Mary Ellen Withrow called in. Aaron Rollins called in. It was a great night last night. Linda Sims, Terry Tackett, Matt Morgan doing all the great work that they do. It was a very interesting night. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, two things. You just said, I want to thank everyone tonight. So you said tonight twice. Did you go to bed?
I'm barely awake, let me tell you.
Okay. All right, I didn't know.
Did you hear that question I asked Jason? I don't even know what I asked.
Well, I heard the words.
Yeah.
I heard the words.
I heard the words.
I heard you string them together. so I'm assuming you're running on very little sleep. This is all I want to put out there, just food for thought. We keep saying a Democrat could have won if they'd ran. A Democrat could have won if they had ran. When people were turning in petitions in March, the political climate all around the country was entirely different than it was last night. Hardcore MAGA in March, things are looking a little different last night. So, I mean, we can't, I'm not saying the Democrats shouldn't have ran someone, but your chances of winning in March were a lot less likely than they were last night.
Yeah, so, but I do want to say, just for history's sake, and I think I said this back in March, that the Democrats were making a terrible mistake because I think they were concentrating too much on 23, which drove out a lot of voters, drove people to vote for marijuana and abortion. And if you actually go back to the last election in which it was just a municipal election like last night, which was 21, the Democrats did win the first ward. They did win the second ward. They did win an at-large seat. And an independent won in the sixth ward. And the president of council was a Democrat. The mayor was a Democrat. So
Maybe we were just a little election weary after, and just not sure that it was even worth it after the whole year-long election last year.
I'll tell you what, this may sound funny to say, but I said if a Democrat is elected, the way the Democratic Party is in Marion, they, for the time being, are going to be the head of the Democratic Party, and that's Scott Kreider right now, whether he's not the president, he's not the chair, I get that. But what I'm saying is he is the face. He is a Democrat who went into a race against Republicans and won and only got 21 fewer votes than the highest vote-getting Republican. That should mean something significant for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, he did as well as, we might as well just say, did as well as
the Republicans.
The other two Republicans that won, yes.
And one was an incumbent, and Republicans tend to do better in Marion. So, and also, if the Democrats, which I think they do, felt that Charter City was a political issue, they won that one by a long shot.
I think a lot of people saw Charter City as a political issue.
So, you know, if this doesn't rise the Democratic Party up in Marion, I don't know what will.
Can we just stop saying Democrats, because they're not the only ones? I think actually the majority of Marion County are independent voters, and maybe we all are not unaffiliated, non-affiliated. And maybe we need to coordinate a little bit better and run some candidates and figure out the funding situation and stop depending on the Democrats to find people, because, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't. There's people that I know that are Democrats that I like that are part of the little club, but I wouldn't go to their meeting.
Well, I think the issue is,
I mean, somebody needs me to vote for them, you know?
Well, I think the issue is that independents don't traditionally run, and I think people would like to float the idea, because I think they want to push the Democratic Party out, that maybe an independent party should be formed. But I think last night, if you look at it, there is a lot more overlap between the independents and the Democrats.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree, but as I think we really just need to get away from the hardcore left and the hardcore right stuff when it comes to local issues. Concentrate on local issues. The things going on in D.C. Don't necessarily affect us from day to day. The things in Columbus do, but the things at City Hall definitely do.
Well, I think that's right, but I would wonder, because I think Aaron Rollins would probably consider himself more of an independent libertarian.
Yeah, I disagree with that, because I'm more of an independent libertarian, and there's no way I'd be sucking ass with Bill Collins. Independent libertarians don't spend money like it's growing on trees.
Well, but I think people push for the independent party because I think they want to hold the Democrats in Marion County at bay, because what you just said I think is significant, and I'm not saying Aaron does that, that's not my opinion, but what I'm saying is that as long as the Republicans are as strong as they are, I think they would love to see a third party come in, because I doubt many Republicans are going to identify as independents.
But there's a very, very large unaffiliated voter base in Marion.
Not as big as the Republicans.
Could go either way. If there was a good Republican, if Jason Schauber, if I were able to have voted for Jason Schauber, I would have voted for Jason Schaubert, and he's a Republican.
Oh, no.
I voted for Scott Kreider yesterday. You know what I mean? Like, one, I want to vote for the best candidate. So,
no, and I'm not saying.
That's what we all need to get away from. Listen, I know people that would not. Jason Schaubert, they did not want Ralph Smith to win, but they would not go pull a ballot for Jason Schaubert because he was a Republican, and they didn't want Republican to be associated with their name on a piece of paper. Even though you could go the next day and change your party affiliation, no, I can't go pull a Republican ballot. Okay, you're part of the problem.
Well, that's interesting, though, because then if that indeed is the case, a lot of independents last night pulled Democratic ballots.
No, we didn't pull.
No, but they voted for Democrats. Let's put it that way.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm an independent that voted for a Democrat.
Right. So I guess, you know, in a primary that might mean something, but.
But you see, but in a primary you might really need to pick. In a primary, you are picking the best candidate. I don't want to say the lesser of the two evil because I don't think Schaubert was evil. But sometimes we're going in there and picking the least worst candidate. And as a Democrat, you might need to weigh in on that because that might be your only option like it was. Third Ward, you didn't have, I mean, you've got Ralph Smith now. Now, had somebody gone and pulled a couple of Republican ballots, I mean, I know it was like 50, but you see what I'm saying. Like,
well, let me ask you this.
If Democrats showed up, maybe it would have been a little bit different.
Oh, I think we've all said that this morning, but I guess my question is, of the Republicans who were on the ballot, who would have had to run races had there been Democratic candidates, would you have voted for Sean Barr? Would you have voted for Ralph Smith?
Know.
Would you have voted for Mrs. Larkin? Would you have voted for Twyla Lane?
She's not been mean to me, but hell no, I would not have voted for Twyla Lane.
Would you have voted for Thaddeus Smith?
She was the only one on the ballot, and I didn't. No, I would not vote for her. So, I'm still bitter that Corey didn't win.
So, again, I think that's what the Democrats'
but that's
mistake.
That's me. I follow this. I have followed them for a year of.
Right, but I don't think it's just you. I don't think it's just you because, again, I don't know. Something happened last night with Charter City. Something happened last night in that Kreider race.
Well, I hope they're listening.
Yeah, the independents did not have to vote for Kreider. And
no, but we did.
And they did. That's what I'm saying. So if you were an independent in the first ward, second ward, third ward, fourth ward, or fifth ward, it sounds like you would have tended to break toward the Democrat because I can't believe that.
If anyone would have ran against Twyla Lang, I would have voted for them.
So there you go.
I don't care who it was.
And I think that's.
It could have been Satan pregnant with Donald Trump's baby. That's. A South Park reference for people that don't know.
But
I would have voted for Satan pregnant with Donald Trump's baby instead of Twyla Lang.
But, and again, I think that one of the problems here is that why are independents breaking so heavily toward the Democrats at this point in time?
Because look at the shit show around us.
Well, and I think that's why I'm saying, I think that's what the Democrats better take note of as of last night. If people want to run as an independent, knock themselves out.
If you give us an option, we'll vote for you.
Please
make sure the option does more than smoke up or fog up a mirror, because that's what the Republicans are giving us right now.
Well, I think they should pay attention after the Charter City issue last night.
I think so.
Hey,
I think so.
Thank
but,
you.
Hey, the people spoke.
They certainly did.
Have a good one, Scott.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with people running as independents. Clearly, we have a big independent base in Marion, but I'm not sure what that base is. I'm not sure what the feeling of the independent party in Marion would be. I think that would have to be flushed out. What does the independent party believe? Because you can say we're all... nine times out of ten, when I ask somebody what they are, they'll say they're independent. But they all mean different things. They're not lined up on anything. You know, there are small variations in the... Obviously, Jason Schaubert as a Republican is not what Ralph Smith as a Republican is. And I don't think what Scott Kreider as a Democrat is what Glenn Coble is as a Democrat. But I'm not sure what the issues are for the independent party, and I think that's why in a local election it would be hard to figure it out. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, that was a wonderful night last night for the country.
Well, it was an interesting night. What do you think caused all this?
Well, Trump's policies. Trump putting the military into these cities. Trump wanting to make it harder to vote. You know, just everything. And, you know, with the shutdown, and people's not getting their food stamps and health insurance, you know, are going to be rising. I don't know how many people's got their letters yet telling them how much it's going to rise, but I mean, statewide, did good.
Did you enjoy our coverage?
We didn't have too many Democrats, you know, to run, but it even boiled down into the school board races. Went overwhelmingly good for Democrats.
Did you enjoy our coverage last night?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we had a good time last night. Everybody did a great job. What do you make of Charter City going down by 10%?
Oh, I think that's great. You know, I was worried since it was going to be a limited election that, you know, people that's involved with the city would get them and their friends, you know, to vote for it and it go on. I mean, maybe Charter City down the road, but city, you know, people should not be on the election. Right now, we can't afford it, for one thing. And like I think Naomi said that, you know, or no, it was Jason, that if Charter City, you know, comes up again, it needs to be people getting petitions to put it on the ballot. Not, you know, the administration, you know, currently in there putting it on the ballot.
Well, we'll see what will come of it. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
Phone lines are open. We can probably fit one more call in this morning if you'd like to call. We got a few minutes left in the broadcast, the morning after the election. 740-383-9944. And again, I hope you enjoyed the election coverage. If nothing else, even if you didn't like the way things turned out last night, we had a great team of people here. Adam called in last night. I just think, again, we have the best team. We have the best coverage. And we stuck with it for more than 3 hours last night. For a local election that had about 3,000 votes in the city, what was it, over 9,000 votes in the county? Interesting stuff. Adam H. Levy goes down. Council on Aging Levy goes up. Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities Levy goes down. Aaron Rollins, Scott Kreider, and Danny Clark elected to Marion City Council at large. Ron Prater keeps his seat in the 6th Ward over Anthony Azaria. And the Charter City Initiative goes down in defeat by over 10% of the vote. So that's the way it all came about last night. And some other things that went on in the county, school boards, trustee races, things of that nature. But I think you can find a lot of that information on the web pages for the Marion County Board of Elections. You know, maybe today I'll get to take a nap. I can't take one immediately. It's going to be a little while, but I'll be back tomorrow morning with more programming here on WGH Talk. I thank Jason Schauber, Mary Ellen Withrow, and certainly Aaron Rollins for joining us the morning after the election to help us go through everything that went on yesterday. And as with all elections, we're so glad people who voted turned out. And hopefully, the voting numbers will get higher as time goes along. For this state, well, we might get one more call in here right as we're about to break. Go ahead, caller, with 30 seconds.
Yeah, did the umpire down in Prospect call a strike for a ball?
Oh, you know what? That's a very good question. Let me see if I can find that real quick. You know what? I wonder if that is on our...
I'm pretty sure that it was going to go through unanimously, I believe, of the way the people...
Yeah, here we go. Prospect... well, I got the Prospect Village. That's not what I need as far as trustees. It was the levy for the parks. The parks levy. Let me get back here to the levies. Okay, here are some of the levies proposed. Okay, that's Charter Commission. LaRue. Prospect Pool. Let's see here. Village of Prospect. Proposed tax levy renewal. Let's see here. What do they got here? Okay, this looks like for the levy in Prospect, 75% for the levy, and the other one, which well, it looks like most things in Prospect passed last night. 64%, 75%, and their Sun Swim Pool, 79%. So if it was in Prospect, it passed. So that's what happened yesterday. So congratulations to Larry Barnett. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.